You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday, and this is the Monday show. Well, I want to say happy Monday, but there's no happiness to a Monday, right? Let's try to make it a happy Monday. I'll give you a good podcast. I'm John Corrales of the Raining Jays. I'm flying solo today, and we're going to talk about the Brooklyn game, which I was at, and I feel like I have to talk about because I am obligated to by virtue of my profession. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but only for one segment. Then we'll carry on a conversation. This is not going to be a very pretty show. So we'll talk about Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris. We'll get to some of your tweets. We'll just get through it. We're going to get through it together. This is a little talk therapy for your morning commute or your shower or your gym session or whatever it is. So all you new listeners, everybody who's listening for the first time, thank you. Appreciate it. If you're thinking about subscribing, you can get the Locked On Celtics podcast on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, you can just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. So do that. And we'll get to all of this stuff, I guess, right now. Let's talk about it. That Brooklyn game. All right. I'm stealing myself for this. It was not a good game by the Boston Celtics. They lost in the third quarter was just brutal. Outscored 33-22. They lost the game 110-96. Outscored 33-22. Thanks to 20 points from D'Angelo Russell, which is something that they talked about before the game. And this is the ultimate frustration with this game between the Nets and the Celtics. There are two things going into this game that were painfully obvious. That D'Angelo Russell torches the Celtics in third quarters. For some reason, he just destroys the Celtics in third quarters. 18 points in the game in Brooklyn, the last game in Brooklyn, 16 in the game in Boston where Boston won and held them off, 20 in the third quarter in this game where they lost. And they knew about it. They knew about it going in. 9 minutes or so to go in the third quarter. He hits a couple of threes. Brad Stevens calls a timeout, and he's pissed. Now, my seat at the Barclays Center, which, as an aside, I love the Barclays Center. That's one of my favorite road gyms to go to. That place, I love it. I just love the aesthetic. I know it's dark, but I like it. I love like the music, the vibe, the everything is just perfect. Like honestly, if for some reason I got fired and I had to go cover a different team, covering the Nets might not be the worst thing in the world. Like I just love that vibe, that whole thing. Like that's a really, really fun place for me to go. And it's a nice gym. They got a lot of food options. Like if you're a Celtics fan, and you're looking to go on the road and MSG is just way too expensive. Forget MSG, go to Barclays, man. Barclays is cool. So that's an aside. The Celtics knew going in that D'Angelo Russell was going to burn them in the third quarter. And Brad Stevens, when he called a timeout, was pissed off. And Marcus Morris afterwards admitted, like, we knew it. We knew that that was going to happen. And we tried to cut his water off, or we should have tried to cut his water off. And they just never did. And Brad Stevens was especially animated in this game. And afterwards, I feel like he's been especially animated. He was especially animated or especially upset after this game. And I think the emotions for Brad Stevens have run a little higher. And it's something I'm kind of interested in. And it's something I might try to talk to him a little bit about. I think as we get closer to the playoffs, his emotions are starting to get a little bit higher. Brad preaches not too high, not too low, but in games, he's getting pretty high. he's getting on these refs, but that's what a coach does. When he called that timeout and he was pissed off, he sat down. He had that clipboard, that whiteboard where you're supposed to draw up a play or something. He sat down and it was like 10 seconds and boom, gone. Get out there. So he was clearly pissed off. And afterwards, Marcus Morris said he understands how Brad was pissed off, because why wouldn't you be? You told these guys it was coming and they still didn't listen. They still didn't do it. Which begs the question, why not? Why didn't they do it? And you wonder why certain guys aren't doing the things that the coach is telling them to do. Why isn't Brad Stevens connecting with these guys? Well, who knows? Like, that's the question. That's the million-dollar question here. And do some guys have other motivations? We'll get to that, I think, in the next segment. But Brad was pissed off about that. And the other thing that we saw coming, I asked Brad Stevens before the game. It's a simple question. The Brooklyn Nets are the best team in the NBA at forcing opponents to take mid-range shots. They are literally number one in the NBA in forcing opponents to take mid-range shots. The Celtics love to take mid-range shots. I mean, think about the guys that they have on this team. Jason Tatum loves to take mid-range shots. I mean, stepping into long twos, those 22 to 18 footers, man, those Celtics really just love stepping into those shots. And you could see it happening, a back-to-back, Brooklyn having that defensive strategy, Jared Allen sitting at the rim, and the Celtics with their tendencies. You could see a big jump-shooting game coming. It's exactly what happened. And afterwards, Brad Stevens talked about it. When he says the Celtics didn't value the possessions the way they should have, this is part of it, that they didn't do the things on offense that they needed to do to get those good shots. Now, he did say, because Jared Allen sits at the rim, you have to make some mid-range shots. You're going to have to take some shots in that mid-range. That's why Brooklyn is so good at those, at forcing teams into the least efficient shot in basketball. They sit Jared Allen at the rim. He blocks everybody. He's gotten everybody. He's gotten Giannis. He's gotten LeBron. He catches everybody. The Celtics had to make some mid-range shots. Okay, fine. They have to take some. But when there's a shot blocker at the rim, you still have to attack and you have to get him moving. So penetrate, do something, attack the basket. And he said before the game, Brad Stevens said before the game, the first attack isn't necessarily going to be the best one, but you have to get to the rim. You have to attack Jared Allen. You have to make him defend you. You have to get past that initial line on the perimeter, get into the paint, and then work the ball around and get Jared Allen moving. Make him step out. Make him make a decision. Make him defend a pick and roll. Make him look, there's a drive. There's a kick. There's a rotation. There's another drive. That's how you attack a shot blocker. And they didn't do it. They just ran their initial action and they said, oh shit, there's Jared Allen. I don't want to get blocked. I'm just going to take this shot. Which is a natural reaction, except that that's not your job to just settle for that shot. And the Celtics have a lot of guys who think they can make that shot. And percentage-wise, there are guys who can, but not at a level that's efficient enough. They're not like LaMarcus Aldridge. There are like three guys in the NBA that can pull up from that 20, 19, 18-foot and make a shot that's efficient. Like Kevin Durant can make that shot at a level that's efficient enough where the rules don't apply to him. The drive to the basket, draw a free throw, or take a three rules don't apply to Kevin Durant because he can pull up from 18 and no one's blocking him. No one's blocking Kevin Durant ever because he's 7 feet tall and he shoots up way above his head, and you have to be like bowl with a 46-inch vertical. Like, that's the only type of play that doesn't exist. So there are very few players who can take that shot. That's my point. The Celtics played right into their hands. So Boston, without Kyrie, without Al Horford, didn't do the things, the extra things they needed to do. And on top of it, they didn't follow the game plan. And that leads me into the second segment, which we'll talk about. Two players in particular, I think you guys know who I'm talking about, that are problematic, and how Brad Stevens can get these guys, this team, to start executing the game plan. We'll talk about that after the break, but first, I want to tell all of you Boston sports fans that there are a couple of great options. It's not just the Locked On Celtics podcast if you're a Boston sports fan. There is a Locked On Patriots podcast that you should be listening to. This is a big offseason for the Patriots. Gronk retired. What's going to happen next? Locked On Patriots has you covered. Baseball is back, and there is a brand new Locked On Red Sox podcast. Check out Locked On Red Sox. I know they're off to a slow start. I just saw that Xander Bogaerts got a big extension. What's going to happen with Mookie Betts' extension? There's a lot to talk about there. And the Locked On Red Sox podcast is going to have you covered. So the Locked On Podcast Network has Boston sports covered or getting closer. We'll see about hockey somewhere down the line. But right now, we've got us, Locked On Celtics, our brothers, Locked On Patriots, and Locked On Red Sox. So if you are a Boston sports fan, a fan of all those teams, go check those out. And even if you're not, doesn't matter. If you are one of those people who loves the Celtics but is like, I don't know, Cowboys fan, Dodgers fan, whatever, go ahead and search for your favorite football team, your favorite baseball team. There is a Locked On podcast for all of it. So it just doesn't have to be Boston. I'm plugging the Boston people because I'm a Boston guy, but there is a Locked On podcast for all of your favorite sports in basketball, football, baseball. It's a growing network, college. Locked On Podcast Network has you covered. And of course, you can catch it all on the new Himalaya podcast app. It's a great app that has the curated playlist, new features. So check out the download the Himalaya app at your app store. Subscribe to Locked On Celtics, Locked On Red Sox, Locked On Patriots, or your favorite other Locked On podcast. I just respected the game. Now my name all in the news. Tripping on all of my moves. Quote me on this, got a lot more to prove. Remember I came in this hip, fresh out the county with nothing to lose.
Look, I let the beat bang, I don't claim colors. Honestly, the honesty is why the game love us. My women either centerfolds or on the main covers. Stunt so hard, I make these friggin' hate summer. And pray for winter, but when it's winter time, I'm still waiting.
Everybody wants to be writing about lineups right now. We've talked about lineups. There is a feeling that, oh my God, Brad Stevens, what the hell is he doing? Like, Brad Stevens doesn't have access to stats and lineup data. Like, he doesn't know that certain guys are problematic right now. But it's the regular season, and there are different factors at play here. So it's pretty obvious that Terry Rozier right now is really hurting the team. I mean, Terry Rozier was a minus 23. Minus 23 and a 14-point loss. So that was bad. I mean, that's bad. And Marcus Morris was a minus 19 in a 14-point loss. Also bad. And there's your analysis for the evening. Brad Stevens knows this. And you might be wondering, like, oh, well, why the hell is he playing these guys? Well, here's my theory. It's a theory. It's a guess. It's not like I know everything that Brad Stevens is doing, but here's my guess. He started out with these guys playing these minutes. The first 20 games are what they are. And then there was the lineup change, and Mook got into the starting lineup. It was Mook and Smart, and that worked out great. And for the first part of the season, Mook was like great. Like, before the All-Star, we were talking about Mook as an All-Star. We've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, seriously, Mook was a 50-40-90 guy. Like, that's elite-level shooting. And he is obviously tailed off. Like, obviously. So at the start of the season, like, let me pull out a little further first. Like, Brad Stevens has a formula. He knows. He knows what's supposed to work. He knows what needs to happen for the Celtics to be their best. He has this vision. And that vision includes Terry Rozier, and it includes Marcus Morris, but it includes them playing, like, not stupidly. And he has a vision. He would never, ever say it that way, but I will. It's a vision of guys with a lot of talent, which Terry Rozier has a lot of talent. Marcus Morris has a lot of talent. They're not bad basketball players. They're just not, they're not playing smart basketball. They are not doing the things that Brad Stevens needs them to do for the Celtics to be a great team. The Celtics have the talent to be a great team. The Celtics have the ability to be a great team. Mentality-wise, they are nowhere near a great team. And this is where the regular season and the playoffs are really going to be an interesting dichotomy. It's going to be very interesting to see what this team does in the playoffs. My feeling is that Brad started the season with this theory, with this formula. Here are my guys. Here's what I need them to do. Okay, the first 20 games happened. He misread, and we all misread, how difficult it would be to integrate Kyrie Irving, healthy, ready to go, Gordon Hayward, not healthy, not really ready to go. We've talked about this. The second surgery robbed him of the summer, blah, blah, blah. You all know this story by now. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier. They are the quote-unquote young guys that Kyrie's talked about. Those three guys came into the season on a super, super high. Terry Rozier got a shoe deal off of his playoff performance. He wouldn't have gotten a shoe deal. Puma wouldn't have given a shit about him if he didn't have that playoffs. Jason Tatum, he's getting Gatorade deals. He's getting the new Nike laceless whatever shoe. He's working out with Kobe. Like, Kobe's calling him up. Come work out. Jaylen Brown, working out with T-Mac. Like, those guys, all of a sudden, they get huge ego boosts. And they're thinking, oh, we can do this. We got this. We got to the NBA final. We almost got to the NBA finals without these guys. Like, why am I sitting around waiting for Gordon Hayward to get his shit together? While we've seen, like, Gordon Hayward in the past couple of games especially has been much more athletic, much more burst. Like, I think that's the culmination of having to play him all season long. Anyway, so we all kind of underestimated how much of a problem that would be. So 20 games in, they changed the starting lineup. Jaylen Brown goes to the bench. He's thriving on the bench. He also, his hand got better. Like, all of that stuff came together. Jaylen Brown's thriving on the bench. He's great in that role. It's working. Gordon Hayward's getting much better. He's getting more athletic. He's still not there. He still needs more time. It's a testament to how tough that injury is. It's a testament to how much that second surgery set him back. He still is not quite where he needs to be, but man, he's so much better than he was to start the season. Okay, fine. So those two guys, this is the second part of the thing. The top two seeds, they're all set. Okay, we're not fighting for the top two seeds anymore. We're going to start seeing if we can fight for three or four and seeing if guys can get their stuff together. Well, Terry Rozier still not really buying in. Marcus Morris shooting tails off. Things start going south. He kind of reverts back to the ISO mook that he always has been. Part three is the season now has been determined that they're going to be like probably the four seed, but maybe also the five seed, like four or five. It's still in question, but we think the four seed. But regardless, we're now at a point now that health is the big question and keeping guys healthy. So these guys still have to play. So Brad Stevens, I think, is aware of the lineup data, and he had hoped these guys would buy in. They didn't. Well, we're in too deep now. So we still got to play these guys, but you have to have a game like they did against Brooklyn where Kyrie and Al have to sit. You had to play them against Indy. You're not going to play them in the back-to-back. So they have to sit. You got to hope that starter Terry would show up. You got to hope that Mook can step up a little bit. Didn't happen. You still got to play those guys. But I think in the Indy game, we saw that Mook's minutes were definitely more restricted. He played like 20 and he didn't play down the stretch. Terry Rozier played 15 minutes. His minutes were minimized. And we're going to see basically a starting lineup. It depends. Of course, it's matchup dependent. So I don't know what's going to happen down the depending on who advances and whatnot, but the starting lineup of Kyrie and Tatum, Horford, Baines, and Smart. That's probably going to be a starting lineup you see against the Pacers, and you'll see Hayward and Brown off the bench and limited Mook and limited Rozier. Here are some very damning numbers for Rozier and Mook. In 14 March games, Terry Rozier has only four games where he's a positive plus minus. So that's 10 negative. Overall, he's a minus 1.5 in March. He's a minus 3.4 in February. Post All-Star, he's a minus 3.1 in 17 games. He's shooting just under 31% from three. And really, the worst stat for Terry Rozier, he's shooting less than 63% from the free throw line. That is, to me, mental, because he's a good free throw shooter. And to shoot that poorly from the line, that's all in his head. Let me just take a little aside here for Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier screwed himself this season, and I firmly believe this. Terry Rozier saw this season. Terry Rozier went into last summer with the potential, if he was a free agent last summer, to make a lot of money. But circumstances are that he just wasn't, so he had to play this whole season. And he screwed himself by trying to take over in certain times and trying to do too much to get his own stats. And I will swear, and there's just no way to prove this, but I swear from everything I've ever learned about basketball that if Terry Rozier had just played the right way, if he had just given up the ball and not taken 90% of those pull-up jump shots that he took, if he had just worked the ball around, that he would have gotten so many of those balls back and he would have shot a significantly higher percentage, and that his numbers would be so much better that he would walk into this summer with the potential to make a lot of money. And part of why he played so well last year is that he played free. And when you don't play free as a basketball player, shit goes wrong fast. I mean, fast. Terry Rozier spent so many games trying to take over or get his stats when games were seemingly decided. And I will point to the Hornets game as the prime recent example. When Jaylen Brown had the game in hand and was playing well, and Tatum pulled up. Tatum was the first guy who did it to hit that knockout punch. And then Terry Rozier was next. And then Terry Rozier at that last possession of the game pulls that turnaround crap. That's just not focused on playing the right way. That's focused on your own shit. It's focused on your own numbers. It's focused on your own individual things. And the sad thing is that Terry Rozier has the talent. He's a good basketball player. And he got into his own head. This is my belief. He got into his own head and he spent so much of the season thinking, hey, we're up big. Let me start going to get my numbers. And they never really came around. He had some big games. And the big games that he had, like against Golden State, he had a big game. And one of the things that he had in that game, like he had his share of pull-up jumpers, but the first thing that he did in that game was give up a ball. I remember it specifically. I watched it happen right in front of me. He gave up the ball at the top, worked it. The ball worked around. He relocated into the corner, and he hit a corner three. And that's what got him going. When he makes the right plays, he gets good shots, and that's what gets his confidence up. That's what gets his rhythm up. You see that ball go through the net. I can tell you, when you see that ball go through the net, man, sometimes you throw some shit up that's like, oh, that's never going. Oh, that swished. Okay, great. I never thought that would go in. That when you're in a rhythm, when you get some good easy shots, when you get some good in-rhythm shots, then the crazy stuff, that starts to fall too. Terry Rozier, man, he screwed up this season. He really screwed up this season. And maybe that's a selling point for him that he can say, all right, I was in a bad spot. My mentality, it was not right, but I'm prepared to get myself back to where I can be. I don't know. His free agency is going to be very interesting. But he screwed up. And what's going to end up happening is I would not be surprised if he gets some DNPs in the playoffs because he can't be trusted. And if I see it, if you see it, then there's a very good chance that Brad Stevens, who is an NBA head coach, sees it. Like, let's just put this out there. You don't see anything that Brad Stevens doesn't see. I don't see anything that Brad Stevens doesn't see. Like, he sees everything. Even if I ask him a question, he's like, oh, wow. Like, there's a little bit of an act there. Brad Stevens sees everything. You don't get to be an NBA head coach without seeing everything. So he sees it all. He knows it all. So you're not surprising him with your clever tweet about lineups. Like, he knows. He knows. I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know. I'm sure after our media sessions and the questions that I ask him, he probably goes back and is like, yeah, all right, yeah, I get it. Like, when you're at that level, you know it all. Marcus Morris, because I don't want this to turn into just complete Rozier bashing. Marcus Morris is in the same boat. In fact, Marcus Morris is in a worse boat. The only thing that he's better at, he had 5 positive plus minus versus 4 for Rozier. But 6 of the 9 that were negative were double digits. His pre-All-Star plus minus was plus 3.5. His post is minus 6.4. In December, he was a plus 10.6. In January, he was a plus 3.1. In February, he was a minus 4.8. And in March, he's a minus 5.6. Now, the thing about Marcus Morris is that he's got the size that you kind of need. Jaylen Brown, there are a lot of calls for Jaylen Brown to start. He's not going to be able to guard some of those guys that Mook can. Like, when Mook is switched onto like a power forward, he can hold his own. Even a center. Like, he's a strong guy. He's got a stronger base. He's just a bigger guy than Jaylen Brown right now. So you need Mook to play some of these minutes. And hopefully Mook does not take over some possessions. Like, he does get the ball, like, more than he did earlier this season. I feel like he gets the ball and he's just really pressing and he's really trying to find his own offense. And it's bad. It's a bad thing for the Celtics for him to keep doing that. But he will be limited as well. Like I said, there are 7 guys for the Celtics in the playoffs that will get a significant amount of minutes. And the rotations after that, there will be Rozier limited time, Mook limited time, some sprinkles of Shemmy, Tice. And then after that, it's emergency basis only. But Mook's going to get more minutes than Rozier just because of what he's able to do defensively. And especially if I stress if, they get to like Toronto, you'll need a guy like Mook to guard Kawhi Leonard, because the combination of Mook and Jaylen Brown guarding Kawhi, that's going to be, you're just going to need that. And you're going to need that body. You need that physicality. You're going to need, like, Kawhi is a underrated strength for Kawhi Leonard, but Mook also underrated strength. He's going to be a guy that will be able to defend the post and defend in general. So you're going to need Mook defensively and hope that he's just going to be able to catch and shoot in rhythm and not dominate and not isolate as much as he has. All right, I've talked for a long time, so we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and wrap up the show right here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. All money in what I've been about. Since 5th Avenue to Schwinn out. In too deep, had to swim out. But ain't nothing sweet but the penthouse. Drop top bands on the 10 now. Drop green dots to the pin now. I came up, but I've been down. Cause I stand up when they sit down. And I gas on niggas in the 6 now. And I built my lane. Yeah. The breeze stops blowing. The sun just leaves the sky. Yeah, it's your life, you can play with it. You make your bed, you gon' lay in it. Do your thing, just be safe with it. Triple bunks in the state prison. Blue laces in my blue chucks. I ain't never gave two soaps. BT, I chumped the hood up. Asking if that nigga nip hood, what? I've talked for a long time about basketball, and there's going to be a lot more basketball to talk about, so I'm just going to wrap up the show here. Sadly, with another serious note, we've been touched by tragedy again, and I'm not going to pontificate about anything, but I know a lot of people are shocked by the loss of Nipsey Hussle, the rapper, who is much more than a rapper. Whether you like the music or not, doesn't matter. And I will admit that I'm getting a really unfortunate education. I'm glad that I got to know more about him aside from his music. I wish I got to know this in a different circumstance, but there's a lot that I've learned about him today as far as reaching back into his community and what he's done for young people in his community in Los Angeles. And it's a tragedy that a young man, he was just 33, who used his success musically to create businesses, to employ other young black people and to give them chances and to create opportunities for young children in that community, whether through education, the arts, sports. It's a real inspiration, and I hope through this tragedy that more people can go learn about what he did and what he stood for. And there may be a tendency for some people to look at him and look at his past and write him off as just another statistic. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that people look at what he became and what he did for his community. And I will say that it's very easy to come out of the shit. And, well, it's not easy, but if you do, it's very easy to run and not look back. It's very difficult to essentially flee the burning building and then go back and try to pull people out. That's not something everybody's going to do. Now, I can speak to the phenomenon from a Greek perspective. I'm a first-generation Greek. And when you look at communities in Boston, New York, other cities, where you have a Greek town and Little Italy and Chinatown, places like that, why do those places exist? Because it's a group of immigrants, a group of people, a certain group that banded together and they started spending money within the community. They started spending their money with each other, at each other's businesses. They bolstered that community. They helped each other grow. They found a common goal in enriching one another. And that made them all successful. There was competition. There's always competition. And not everybody is looking magnanimously. They're not looking with the greater good in mind. There are selfish people. That happens. But we enriched each other. And I look at my dad, who came to this country with nothing, $5 in his pocket maybe, got a job at a Greek restaurant, got a break because a member of his own community reached out and helped him out, and he built his own business and gave me a chance and gave me this opportunity to be better. I remember my dad looking at me saying, when I worked at his pizza places, and I remember him saying to me, "You want to be a pizza man your whole life?" Like he was sacrificing something for me. And he gave me the chance to be something bigger. And I'll always appreciate that. And that's because the community gave him the opportunity to give his son an opportunity. So if we learn anything from this, it's that we need to help each other. We need to reach back. If you make it, reach back and help somebody. That's why I hope if anybody wants to get into podcasting, if anybody wants to get into sports writing, that I can help. This is my community. This is my group. And I hope that we can help each other. It crosses race, it crosses gender, it crosses sexuality, it crosses all of it. So again, I have to talk about something serious. And I apologize if you think it's getting old talking about something serious, but I feel like it's important. So I hope everybody listening just takes the time to reflect and help somebody else. We're all struggling a little bit, but some of us are in a better position than others. So take the time if you can, reach back, use that inspiration to help somebody else. You might get out, pull somebody out with you. Let's help each other make this a better place. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Punish me, sister, with brutality. Sister, talk to me, sister, so you can see. Sister, oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh,
right now. Right now.
Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can't see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
Yeah.